She wants my love, but she gives it away. She's leaving town, she's leaving today.
The 9:30 train by Michael Skinner, who's in the studio. Going to talk to him in just a second. You are listening to Sunrise on 91.5 FM. It is 9:09 on a Wednesday morning. It is April 30th, 2008. From the University of Massachusetts Lowell, we are public radio for the Merrimack Valley, bringing you bright and musical radio to start your day. I'm Christine Dunlap. Good morning. Our guest co-host this morning is Paulette Renaud Karajanis. She joins us here in the studio. Good morning, Paulette.
Good morning. What a nice way to start the day.
Live
music. Who
absolutely
knew?
We're going to play some live music here, too, which is really cool. Michael Skinner has been on Sunrise before. Was on last year. We welcome him. He's got his third CD, but certainly a new one out. He joins us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, and nice to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Your new CD is called Waiting. Not with the
right.
G. Waiting right. For a train.
Waiting for a train. Yes.
And what is that? What train are you waiting for?
It could be for a variety of things. It's a journey for life, because for whatever reason, I've always been fixated with trains. So trains take you somewhere. So with this one, I just love trains. So it's actually a song that's on the. On the album, and it's about if you ever felt that a day late and a dollar short in the love department.
Never, never.
Who amongst us hasn't?
That's what that song is about. So I figure that sounds pretty good. So we'll use that as the title for the album. But that's what it is. It's sort of a tongue in cheek about song that's trying to find love, but. In all the wrong places. They already had that, so I couldn't do it.
Michael Skinner, New Hampshire, Manchester.
Yes.
Manchester-based guy, a really long lifetime career of music. Started out as a drummer.
Yes.
Played drums for, what was the name of the band?
It was Train.
American Train.
American Train, then we dropped it to Train.
To Train for many years, and then switched to guitar a few years ago. And what was that all about? And does that happen often?
For some, but this is something I've wanted to do since I was a kid. When I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, I wanted to play the guitar and sing like everybody else. I did not get the encouragement that.
Yeah, but you still became a musician.
I became a drummer. I found by tapping on the counters, I was always tapping and keeping in time, and I found that. I could anticipate what was coming up next on the song with the drum rolls and stuff. And I said, I think I've got something here. So a friend of mine had a drum set, and I sat down, and it was there. And I just practiced and practiced. And I wanted to be in the neighborhood rock band, and they needed a drummer. And I had a natural ability with it. It was a lot of practice, but that's...
Right. See, that's my secret desire. One of my secret desires is to be a drummer in a rock and roll band.
Well, and go so for it.
Why not? Where's that drum set now?
It's potentially too late.
Oh no. B-52s are back. Come on now.
I just think it's fabulous that you got to be a drummer all those years. But interestingly enough, for you, it was the guitar that called to you more.
It was.
And how were you able to make that transition?
It was back in around 1995, 96. I just said, I'm going to do this because things happened in my life and I was out of the business and... I said, I'm going to try it. So I just picked it up and just kept putzing away, got some chord books, and just started learning, just kept practicing and practicing.
So you're self-taught?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Built up those calluses?
Yes. Yes.
But I would imagine if you played drums all those years, were in bands, you knew something about music. Did that give you a sort of a leg up on learning?
I think so. And I think we all have gifts. And I found as I got... going without being a braggart, it just flowed naturally.
Yeah.
There was still
mm-hmm.
the hard work that I had to put into it, but it was there. And so there was part of me that was angry that I hadn't done it years ago, because it actually was coming easy to me, except for those calluses and all the rest of it. That hurt like heck. But once you get over that hump, I'm a musician. I've always wanted to be a musician. I knew that as a kid. You know, you look at my high school yearbook, it says I want to be a musician in a rock band. So I've always known, I just felt it. But again, it was the practice that makes you good at what you're doing.
And of course, we're talking, by the way, with Michael Skinner. And if you want to know more about him and his music, that a lovely website.
It's a great website.
Yes, I was saying to him, it's a fabulous website. It is mskinnermusic.com, and you get to learn a little something about Michael and about his music. And this is your third album as a guitarist. Now, did you produce as when you were a drummer with the band American Train and then Train?
We recorded some things, and what I actually found is at the end of the CD, there's 19 songs. There's four songs at the very end. Two were that were recorded with the band over in England that we did as demos for record companies, and back because that was a hard rock band. So there's two songs on there from that. And then when the band came back to Boston, because originally from the Boston area, we recorded two other songs. So those are at the end, because a lot of people, when I'm playing out, they're always intrigued at the fact that I was a drummer and I toured. I lived in England for 2 years, but I toured Great Britain for two solid years with this hard rock band. And I found some old tapes, and my friend Bob, the studio engineer, was able to put them onto the disc. And so it just answers the questions for people. And you can also get to hear me drumming. I still drum on my own CDs. But this really shows what I could do as a drummer.
Oh, that's cool. The first two CDs, by the way, are Songs to the Keys to Your Life. Is that right?
The first one was Train of Tears.
Train of Tears.
And the second was Pirates. And as we can see, there's a lot of train songs here.
Trains and Pirates. And it's an interesting story, too. I mean, you talked about your band as kind of a hard traditional rock band, and now you've got an acoustic guitar, and the lyrics are very important. I mean, you talk about trains, you talk about journeys. Your life is a journey. You've been through some stuff, and you talk about that, and you sort of deal with it in a certain way with your music. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I have found that my music is my way to express myself, and people who know me. Or have met me, and they, even if they don't know me, because I don't necessarily say a lot, they say all I have to do is read your lyrics, and they'll understand my life. Because all the songs I write, they are my story, but they're also the collective stories of so many others that I have known. So I incorporate that. So it's not just here. Let me tell you all about myself, because these, you know, like waiting for a train. You two of you are all smiling. Everyone's smiling. We've all been, you know, on the short end of the stick and trying to find their love. Everybody can identify with that. Everyone can identify with loss and hurt, but also love. And what's interesting is there's actually more sad songs out there.
I think, yes, there are.
I played several weeks ago for Valentine's Day, and the people call, can do as many happy love songs as you can. And I have a fair amount, but then I start listening to the radio and said, no, most of the stuff is sad. It doesn't matter what genre you listen to. Everyone always knocks country western for being sad, but if you listen to the pop, it's sad stuff.
It resonates, because that's what sticks. That's what people remember, I think, sometimes more, and it's more deep. Before we get any further, let's just hear you play something. We're going to have you play, and then you can tell us afterwards what it's about. Michael Skinner, do you want to stand up or sit or whatever's easiest?
Sit,
okay.
There's a tune called Songs for the Keys to Your Life.
Slaving away, worked your fingers to the bone. The grindstone is all that you see. Once made of gold, not turned so cold. Your hands have forgotten your dreams. Deep in love, deep in care. When do you drop the keys? Keys to your dreams and music to your soul. Remember how you once sang to me. Songs of the keys to life. Songs of the keys to life. Songs of the keys to life. Have you sung the song for the keys to life? Wasting away and what's there to say of all the things that you loved. Now all I see is broken inside. Love of only your wealth. Is that now the dream? Manipulation in schemes. You climbed your way to the top.
You look around and what do you see? A wasteland of all that you loved. Songs of the keys to life. Songs of the keys to life. Songs of the keys to life. Have you sung the song for the keys to life? Whoa. 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 You look around and what do you see? A wasteland of all that you loved. Songs of the keys to life. Songs of the keys to life. Songs of the keys to life. Have you sung the song for the keys to life?
All right, very good.
Thank you.
That was Michael Skinner playing live here in the Sunrise Studio. Songs to the keys to your the keys to your life.
Yes, songs for the keys to your life. Long title, short song.
But what you know, as you were singing it, I kept thinking of all of those songs that are that mark landmark moments of my life. You know, it's amazing as you were. It's just, and not sad songs necessarily, but you know, great songs. My youngest daughter was born, and I had the radio on, and Brown Eyed Girl was on, and she's got brown eyes, and the song that I danced to at my wedding, and, you know, the song from a bad breakup, or, you know.
Did that happen?
Yeah, but a long time ago, because I'm getting ready to celebrate my 25th wedding anniversary, so it was a long, long time ago. But it's true. Songs really do, you know, people sit around and go, oh, remember when we were here, remember when this happened, that song was playing, you know, and for people who are musicians, translating that into, you know, experiences that you have into songs is really an interesting sort of process, I'm sure.
And that's one of the nicest gifts that you get from this business. You play somewhere in a song, how it resonates with people, or if they've purchased my CD, or if they've heard me play, or they've been on the website, and they tell me how it's their song, or how it resonates with them, and that it is, and without being corny, it's beautiful. You just, it's like these goosebumps come over you. People are taking something that you've created, and it becomes them, and it's their identity. And I agree, because I think of all the songs that I grew up to and listened to, and even the great songs that come out now.
So. Right.
We're talking with Michael Skinner. He is a musician based out of Manchester, New Hampshire. He writes music and plays around in the area. You can get all the information about him and his music on his website, mskinnermusic.com. And last time you were here, when you were on Sunrise about a year and a half ago, I think it was, we focused more on some of the challenges in your life and how that sort of triggered, I think at that point, your change in your musical career. You've always had a musical career, but
yes,
in what you write and the kind of music you play. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, just so people know what we're talking about, and also ask how that has evolved in terms of your music. Is it like, you know, are those sort of, you know, mental health challenges that you talked about, and are those at the forefront, or are they just sort of now part of your story?
It's part of the story, and basically, for folks that trying to say, what's she talking about? For most of my life, I had a successful career in music as a professional drummer, and then I also went into the business end, and I was very successful with that, and I had everything. I was married with 5 children, a home, all the things of life. Unfortunately, my childhood was racked with severe abuse in all 3 components, sexual, physical, and emotional, from my parents and some of their friends. And that was a ticking time bomb, which was eventually was going to explode. And it started to unravel in 92. And come 93, I basically fell apart. And yes, there was hospitalization. So now I was given the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder because of all the flashbacks that were going on, and major depression. From that, I could no longer work. I lost my business. I lost everything that I held near and dear. My wife left me, you know, 21 years. friends wouldn't talk to me anymore because there's this stigma and discrimination and these fears around the, I hate to use the words mental illness, but that's what they're afraid of, because post-traumatic stress disorder and depression mm-hmm. falls into those categories. And also childhood sexual abuse. Those are things that it's like, you know, the fingers down the chalkboard. Yeah. You don't want to hear it. It's discomforting. It's disconcerting. It doesn't make me dangerous. You're not, if I shake your hand, you're not going to catch it. But that's what you felt. Mm-hmm. People shunned me. And that made my depression and the symptoms I was suffering, dealing with, worse. It mm-hmm. prolonged my recovery. So slowly but surely, I read and learned what I could, and through peers, finding other people, finding the right counselors. There are good people. I know before I was knocking some of the mental health profession, and I still do, because I actually go out and do public speaking on this, and there's still some, like in any business, they shouldn't be in there, because mm-hmm. they're hurting people. And mm-hmm. I think of my short time within that mental health system, how they ruined my spiritual belief in myself, even the guitar. I've been in music all my life, and to have people tell me you'll never be in music again, that's very disturbing. And you're believing them because these are the professionals.
And you're so vulnerable.
You're so exactly. And you're believing it because you're depressed.
Yeah.
But picking up the guitar, so that was a process. One day I could pick it up, and it was, yes. And the next day it was like I might have been holding a hunk of wood because nothing was coming. Because it was just the things that were going on. I was just depressed. It didn't sound good. Even every now and then I have a bad moment. Even if the guitar is totally in tune, it sounds horrible. But the good news is it does get better. It does. And that's why the certain songs of mine that I talk about this or when I do the public speaking, I'm just trying to show that, yes, you can get better. Because I got knocked so badly back in those years from 93 to 96, I just said, no, the heck with it. Everything that could have been said against me was wrong. So if I can help show others by my way of example, and that's what I do. So, yes, there's songs that touch upon this, and then there's other songs which are just about life or wanting to find someone to fall in love with, or when you've found someone to fall that you like. So,
so you use the music to communicate, obviously. What role has it played in your own recovery, in your own continuing recovery? How important is it to that?
It's huge. I remember writing an article, and it was published, and it saved my life, literally. As a child, mm-hmm. the drumming, because then all the things you learn about how drumming gets all that aggression out, because I had a lot of anger and rage, so that was very constructive. I'm not in jail. I didn't do anything stupid or foolish. So the music has saved my life in terms of not so much that you would be dead, but just really,
right.
I have a life. Playing the guitar now and singing, this is huge for me. I play this every day. I love it. It is one of the biggest components of my healing. You know, friends, the peer support, that is important too. But I don't need to journal. I can write a song and I can get it out.
When you're creating a new song, what comes first? Is it the words? Is it the idea? What's the process like?
It's a little of both. Sometimes it's an idea for a theme of a song that I want to do, and then it comes to me. Other times I'm just practicing and I get these really cool chord progressions, which I think these sound really nice, and then it meshes with some words, and sometimes it comes really easy. Within 5 minutes I've got a song, and other times it's a labor of love. It's a project.
We're talking to Michael Skinner. His new CD is Waiting for a Train. Are you going to play something else from that album, or do you have a...
Yes. And I picked the songs that were the shortest. It wasn't, I would say, to my best. But this is, given what we were just talking about, one of the saddest things around relationships is people that, when they find a good relationship, and they don't know how to deal with it, so they run from it. And that's what this song is about, 9:30 Train. It's a short song.
She wants my love, but she pushes away. She wants my love, but she gives it away. She's leaving town, she's leaving today. Packed all her bags to catch an early train. She's leaving town on the 9:30 train. No matter what I say, I can't get her to stay. I try so hard to get her to stay. She says it's not me, but she won't explain. Tells me there's things inside that's causing her pain. So she wants my love, but she pushes away. So much love inside, but she runs away. No matter what I say, I can't get her to stay. She's leaving today. She's running away. She's leaving town on the 9:30 train. No matter what I say, I can't get her to stay. She's leaving town. She's leaving today. No matter what I say, I can't get her to stay. She's leaving today on the 9:30 train. She's leaving today on the 9:30 train.
All right. That's Michael Skinner.
Thank you.
Playing live here in the Sunrise Studios. Waiting for a Train is the CD, and that's the 9:30 train. Boy, that's a common theme, universal theme.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking how this must be odd for you to play so early in the morning.
Your voice isn't opened, and I'm shuddering. I'm saying, oh, I'm not singing this really where I could.
No.
But it's fine playing. It's just...
It's a musician's life.
Right.
We just have a minute left. What's next? What's coming up next for you? You're working on another album. You got performances coming up.
I have performances. I have a lot of what people have been doing recently, hiring me for the speaking, but also having me perform, which I love. So, because I get a lot of public speaking gigs, and I travel around the country doing this, but a lot of them now have me doing songs that touch upon the issues we talked about, the trauma and the abuse, mm-hmm. and just the healing. So I can talk as a speaker, but I can also sing the song, and then I can go really into length at depth what the song is about, because it's resonating with the people that are in the mm-hmm. crowd, because they've dealt with the same things. It's also the treating professionals. So that I like.
Well, congratulations to you on the burning fire inside you that keeps you healthy and moving forward in a really good journey and some good product.
Well, thank you very much,
Michael Skinner. Delightful to know you. Thank you for playing for us. And if you want to know more about Michael Skinner and his work and figure out how to get one of his albums or go see one of his performances, you can get all of his information on his website, which is mskinnermusic.com.
It has a little hypnotic sort of beginning to it too, with the graphics moving. I was mesmerized.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, Paulette, because I thought it was fabulous too, the website, and we both had the same response. Paulette Renaud Karajanis, thank you for co-hosting this morning.
Well, thank you for letting me experience it. It's always a pleasure.
It's a lot of fun,
here.
Isn't it?
Oh my! You know what? When one talks about their dreams, I'd be sitting here every day.
good to know, because sometimes I really don't want to be, because it's so darn early in the morning. Anyway, thank you. We're going to stop for a quick information update. We come back, going to replay a little something, one of our earlier conversations that you may have missed from earlier in the day. You're listening to Sunrise on 91.5.
Tells me there's things inside.